Welcome to Accent Africa audio recording. This session was taught in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, during an Accent 8 training conference in December 2014. This session is taught by Reverend Mark Kearney and is called Revisiting Spirit Baptism. The translation is in Swahili. We hope you enjoy the teaching and would love to hear your comments. You may contact us at accentafrica@agmd.org.
Well, this morning we're going to begin, as Dr. Miller said, with a session titled Revisiting Spirit Baptism. And we're going to be talking about the importance of this experience and the importance of emphasizing this experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the reason we are having a session on this is because many people are not emphasizing this experience in their churches. Across Africa and in many parts of the world, the Assemblies of God churches are losing this emphasis. And so we want to consider some passages of Scripture and the Word of God and some principles to help us understand why we must come back again and again to emphasize this important experience. And so the purpose of this lesson is, first of all, to call the church to revisit and re-emphasize the neglected experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in this session, we also want to properly understand the missional emphasis of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the missional purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. As we emphasized yesterday, we will continue to touch on this today, that the mission of God is the proper context for experiencing the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, you just quoted the text for my session this morning. The text this morning, are you surprised? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The first thing that I want to emphasize this morning again is the purpose of this experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 defines the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that we needed to be empowered for this task of being witnesses. If we're going to effectively participate in the mission of God, we need the power of the Spirit to do that. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promised that power to the church. And a few days later, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus fulfilled His promise. And He poured out of the Spirit upon that group of 120 believers. And they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we know that when the Spirit came upon them, they began to speak in other tongues. And that is oftentimes what we emphasize. But the great significance of what happened on the day of Pentecost is not that they spoke in tongues. The great significance of what happened on the day of Pentecost is that the church was empowered for the mission of God. That's what Jesus said would happen. That's what Jesus was emphasizing. When the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. Speaking in tongues is important. It is part of the empowering experience. When we begin to speak in another language, it is a testimony that the power of the Spirit is now enabling us to speak for God. But what the church needs is God's power for witness. And as we read through the rest of the book of Acts, the book of Acts continues to show us the effect of this experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What happened on the day of Pentecost was not a one-time experience, but we see a continuing action of the Spirit throughout the rest of the book of Acts. And following the day of Pentecost, the church continued to be empowered for witness. In Acts chapter 4, we see sometime later when the church was beginning to face persecution. And the disciples, they were arrested and they were being threatened and told to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And after they had been released, the book of Acts tells us that they gathered together and they begin to pray. And they prayed, "Lord, fill us with boldness to proclaim your message." They prayed, "Lord, stretch forth your hand to work signs and wonders." And verse 31 says that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And again, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, God poured out of His Spirit and filled them with power. And it says that they continued to speak the Word of God boldly. With great power, the apostles testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this played out over and over again through the book of Acts. As the church committed itself to the mission of God, God poured out of His Spirit again and again. And the believers were filled with power and they effectively testified of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now,
And what we are saying in this conference is what we read about in the book of Acts, this experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is a gift of God for every believer. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is an experience that is available for every single believer. In fact, it's not only available, it's necessary for every believer. Because we have been commissioned to take this message of the gospel to the nations. But while we have been commissioned to take this message of the gospel, we also recognize that Satan is opposing the fulfillment of the mission of God. And this is one of the reasons why it is so necessary that every believer be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This world is under the power of Satan. People are in bondage to sin and to witchcraft and to demon spirits all over the world. And it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that people will be set free. It is only by the power of the Spirit that the power of demon spirits will be broken and people will be set free and brought into the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 38, Peter gave this testimony about Jesus. He said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, he went around setting people free from the power of Satan. And now this is the work that Jesus has called us to participate in. Jesus is calling his church, every believer, to join him in setting people free from the power of Satan and the power of darkness. And this is why we must emphasize and we must help every believer be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So that they will be equipped to participate in this mission. Now, this truth that God has promised to baptize every believer in the Holy Spirit, it is largely because of this truth that our movement, our church, the Assemblies of God, was established. In the early 1900s, there were believers who began to read the book of Acts. And they began to say, this must be more than just a story of what God did back then. They begin to say, why can we not see these kinds of things happening in our church today? And they begin to ask themselves the question, what was the essential element in the church in the book of Acts that brought the power of God? And And they came to the conclusion that the essential element was this experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. As they read the book of Acts and they saw time and time again how God poured out of His Spirit and people began to speak in other tongues, that the power of God was released in their lives through this experience. And so they began to pray. And they begin to ask God, pour out of your Spirit upon us. And in 1906, in a place called Azusa, in California, in the United States, there was a small group of people, and they were led by an African-American pastor by the name of William Seymour. Have you ever heard of this man, William Seymour? He was a black man. He was a pastor of a small group of people. But William Seymour believed that this promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for today. And as he and this small group of people were praying and asking God, God began to pour out of His Spirit and He began to baptize people in the Holy Spirit. People began to be filled with the Spirit and they began to pray in other languages. And God began to work miracles among them. And a powerful revival began. We know that as the Azusa Street Revival today. And out of that revival, God began the modern Pentecostal movement. There were thousands of people who were filled with the Spirit in that revival. Some of them came as missionaries directly to Africa. And they went around the world preaching the gospel. And everywhere they went, they proclaimed this message. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And He saves. He heals. He delivers. And He baptizes people in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they proclaim that He's coming again. And this message must be proclaimed to the whole world in the power of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere they went, they proclaimed this message. And everywhere they went and they proclaimed this message, God poured out of His Spirit. And God continued to fill people with His Spirit. And today, the Pentecostal church is the fastest growing part of the church in the world. Hallelujah. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you read some of those documents of those early church leaders, the things they wrote, you will see that they constantly emphasize the experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They discovered that this experience was the key to opening the door for the church to experience the power of God today. That's how our movement began. But today, we have a problem in our movement. We have a problem, a big problem. We are no longer emphasizing this experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit like we used to. Assemblies of God pastors around the world are not preaching and teaching this message like our early fathers were. And we see the evidence of this in the statistics that we have about our church. The statistics of the number of people in our churches who are being baptized in the Holy Spirit is showing us there is a lessened emphasis on Spirit baptism today. Now, you know, statistics are challenging. Across Africa, not all of our churches have gathered accurate statistics. But according to the best information that we have currently, there are about 16 million members in the Assemblies of God across Africa. And we thank God for that. The church in Africa is growing. We thank God. In fact, in the last 20 years, the church has grown tremendously. But while we thank God for that statistic, there is another statistic that is very alarming. Of the 16 million members in our churches, there are only a little over 3 million, 19%, who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you were to divide every church in Africa into groups of 5 people, that would mean out of every group of 5 people, only 1 person had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. One baptized in the Spirit, 4 who have not been baptized. And I can tell you that Dr. Miller and myself, as we have traveled around Africa and we preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we give altar calls and invite people who have never been filled with the Spirit, oftentimes the large majority, sometimes the whole church will come that they have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the question is, why is this happening? Why are so few of our people being filled with the Spirit? It's because we are neglecting to preach and teach on this message. We are preaching other messages, but we are not preaching and teaching people that they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I will be open with you. Until just a few years ago, I myself was neglecting to preach and teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I believed in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit myself. But I was not preaching and teaching on it.
Lakini nilikuwa sikufundishi na kuhubiri.
I called myself a Pentecostal missionary.
Nilijiita mwenyewe kama missionary wa Pentecost.
I was not emphasizing this.
Lakini nilikuwa sisitizi.
And God began to deal with my heart.
Na Mungu akaanza kushughulika na moyo wangu.
God began to speak to me that I needed to come back to focusing on this important experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Mungu akaniambia kwamba natakiwa kurudi nyuma na kutazamisha macho yangu kwenye hili swala zima la Roho Mtakatifu.
And that's why today I'm here to emphasize to you that as a church we must turn this situation around and we must once again begin to emphasize the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because of the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The purpose is that the church would be empowered for the mission of God. If the majority of our people in our churches have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, how do we think we're going to fulfill the mission of God? With what power do we think we're going to accomplish this mission? How are we going to reach these unreached millions and billions of people around the world? When we are neglecting to lead our people into receiving the promised power that Jesus Christ promised to His church. Can you see why this neglect is a very serious problem? Jesus said that the only way we're going to fulfill the mission is as we are empowered by the Spirit. He ordered His disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received this power. But today we are not taking it as seriously as Jesus did. I'm sure there are a number of things that are contributing to this neglect. In the next session, Dr. Miller is going to teach on the subject what it means to be Pentecostal. And he will discuss some of the issues that are contributing to this neglect of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But I want to take a minute and I want us to look at one example in the New Testament of a church that began to neglect, began to turn their back on the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. And we're going to look at a church that, for some reason, they began to think that they could serve God in their own strength rather than depending upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to see what a strong warning the Word of God gave to that church. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Galatia. It was a church that he himself had planted. And so I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 5. Paul wrote, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Notice the things that the Apostle Paul is saying to this church. He is reminding them of what happened when he came and he preached the gospel to the Galatians. And he reminds them how at the beginning when they heard the message, they believed. They simply opened their hearts in faith to believe. And when they did that, they put their faith in Christ. But Paul also reminds them that God poured out of His Spirit upon them. Not only were they saved, but they received the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And he reminds them that they began in a revival, a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, he talks about how God supplied the Spirit and he worked miracles among them. And that's the kind of story that we read about in the book of Acts. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, and all the apostles, when they preached the message of Christ, they led people into being filled with the Spirit. God worked powerfully by His Spirit among them. But now there was a problem in this church. Because other people had come and they began to preach a different message, a different gospel. And the Galatians began to accept this other gospel. And they began to try to serve God in their own strength by keeping the law rather than by walking in faith and seeking the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice what the Apostle Paul begins by saying to them. His very first words, what does he say? He says, "You are being foolish." In fact, it was so amazing to him what they were doing that he said, "It's almost like someone has bewitched you." They had seen the power of God manifested among them. By simply opening their hearts in faith and seeking God, God poured out of His Spirit. But now, they thought that in their own strength, they could continue. They began in the Spirit. And now they were trying to finish the race in their own strength, perfecting themselves by their own strength. And Paul says this is foolishness. Let me give an illustration to show you what I'm talking about. Because in essence, when we neglect to emphasize the importance of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we are making a very similar mistake to what the church in Galatia made. You know, when we do not preach and teach often on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When we do not emphasize this, we are teaching something to our people. We are saying to them, it is not important. Just by being silent, we are teaching. You know, there are two ways to teach. You teach by what you emphasize, and you teach by what you do not emphasize. What you do not emphasize, you are saying. That is not important. You can ignore that. And when we do not emphasize the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we are being foolish, just like the Galatians. Let me give you an illustration to show you what I mean. My wife and I, we have been missionaries in Africa for almost 23 years now. I'm sure that some of you may have heard our mission. They help us as missionaries. And our church, they have a program called Speed the Light. And it's the youth that is their part in missions. And the youth in our churches, they raise funds to help the missionaries to purchase vehicles to go and to preach the gospel.
Kwa hiyo vijana wanakusanya fedha na wananunua magari na kuyaleta kwa wamishonari wanaofanya kazi nje ya Amerika ili kuwasaidia katika kueneza injili.
Now, about 2 years ago, my wife and I moved to the country of Togo.
Miaka miwili iliyopita, mimi na mke wangu tulihamia Togo.
We had been working in the country of Namibia.
Na kabla ya kwenda Togo, tulikuwa tunafanya kazi Namibia.
And so when we moved to Togo, we just went with our suitcases.
Na tulipoondoka kwenda Togo, tuliondoka tu na masanduku yetu.
But just a few days after we arrived in Togo, my mission director contacted me.
Na muda mfupi nilipofika pale Togo, mkurugenzi wa misheni aliwasiliana na mimi.
And he said, I have some good news for you.
Akasema nina habari njema kwenu.
He said, there is a Speed the Light vehicle. It is a Toyota Land Cruiser.
Na akasema kwamba kuna gari ambalo limenunuliwa na hiki kikundi cha kueneza nuru kwa kasi ambalo ni Toyota Land Cruiser.
He said another missionary was using it, but that missionary has left and this vehicle is now available.
Kwamba missionary mwingine alikuwa analitumia, sasa yule missionary ameondoka, kwa hiyo ile gari liko huru.
It is completely paid for.
Na limelipwa.
You don't have to pay anything.
Huhitaji kulipa chochote.
But you can use this vehicle for your ministry.
Lakini unaweza kutumia gari hili kwa ajili ya huduma.
You know the Toyota Land Cruiser.
Naelewa Toyota.
This is the strong vehicle.
Na hiyo ni gari.
Here in Africa. It's
gari kiboko kabisa hapa Afrika.
And I said, praise the Lord.
Nasema Yesu asifiwe, asante Mungu.
Because there's no way that I could purchase that vehicle.
Na hakakuwa na njia yoyote kwamba naweza kununua hiyo gari.
It's very expensive. There's no way I could afford it. But it was given to me as a gift. Not long ago, our Acts in Africa team traveled to Burkina Faso.
Sio muda mrefu sana, mimi na timu ya Matendo Afrika tulienda Burkina Faso.
And my wife and I were able to drive from Lomé to Burkina Faso. And we took boxes of this book that you are looking at. We were able to carry material for the pastors. And we were able to bless the pastors in the conference that we had there. From Lomé, Togo to Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso is 1,000 kilometers. And it took us 2 days to drive. But thanks to the gift of this vehicle, we were able to do this.
Kwa zawadi ya lile gari tulikuwa na uwezo wa kufanya hivyo.
And God moved powerfully in that conference.
Na Mungu alitembea sana katika kongamano hilo.
But let me ask you a question.
Lakini ngoja nikuulize swali.
What would you think about me?
Ungefikirije juu yangu?
If you heard that when my director contacted me and offered this vehicle that I responded this way to him.
Na kama jinsi ambavyo mkurugenzi alinipigia na akanieleza kwa habari ya gari na jinsi nilivyoitikia.
If I had said to him, I thank you, that is a very generous gift.
Ningesema na kukupa.
A generous offer.
Hiyo ni zawadi nzuri, sadaka ya ukarimu.
I appreciate that very much.
Nashukuru sana.
But I don't need it.
Lakini sihitaji.
I don't need it.
Lakini sihitaji.
I've got to go to Burkina Faso next month, but no problem.
Nitakwenda Burkina Faso mwezi ujao, lakini hakuna tatizo.
Because God has given me two strong legs. And all of these books, I will just put them on my back. And 1,000 kilometers, I will be fine. I can do this. What would you think about me? What has gotten into that man's head? They are offering him a free gift. It's free. All he has to do is receive it. And it will help him to do what he cannot do in his own strength. And he turns it away. How foolish. That's what Paul was saying to the church in Galatia. And when we neglect to preach and teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, when we do not emphasize that every believer must be filled with the Spirit, in effect, we are doing the same thing. We are being foolish. We are ignoring the gift of the power that Jesus has promised to the church for us to be able to accomplish this mission. We must stop being foolish. We must stop being foolish. And once again, we must begin to emphasize what Jesus emphasized. Jesus made sure His church was empowered by the Spirit for the mission of God. We must also commit ourselves to begin to make sure that our church is empowered for the mission of God. And so that's why today I am pleading with you to begin to preach and teach this message. I told you a few years ago, God began to convict me. Because I was not emphasizing this message. I'm pleading with you to hear the voice of God. God is speaking to the Tanzania Assemblies of God. Not only does God want you to begin to preach this message, He wants to use you to help the whole church across this movement, that every pastor, every leader, every church member will understand that they also, everyone must begin to emphasize this.
Mungu anataka akutumie wewe pia kuwasaidia wengine wote ndani ya makanisa yetu, washirika na wachungaji, na kila mtu kuona kwamba tunatakiwa kusimama katika jambo hili.
My plea to us is not just from my own personal opinion. This is what the Word of God teaches us.
Hiki ninachokutafadhalisha si tu kwa ajili ya jinsi ninavyojisikia, lakini hivi ndivyo neno la Mungu linavyotufundisha.
And we must experience a fresh outpouring of the Spirit in our church.
Na tunatakiwa kuona ule ujuzi mpya wa Kipentekoste katika makanisa yetu.
If we are going to fulfill the mission of God,
kama tunataka kutimiza utume wa Mungu,
we must have a move of the Spirit.
Lazima tuwe na mtembeo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
A continual move of the Spirit.
Roho Mtakatifu atembee kwa kiwango cha maradufu kwa kuendelea.
And that will happen if we will commit ourselves to begin to regularly preach and teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Na hiyo itatokea tu pale tutakapoendelea kuhubiri kila wakati kwa habari ya Roho Mtakatifu.
Our church will not continue to be a Pentecostal church unless we begin to emphasize this.
Makanisa yetu hayawezi kuendelea kuwa makanisa ya Kipentekoste mpaka pale tutakapokuwa tumeendelea kufundisha na kusisitiza juu ya Upentekoste.
We will become some other kind of church, but we will not be a Pentecostal church.
Tutakuwa ni makanisa ya namna fulani lakini sio ya Kipentekoste.
Even if we put the name Pentecostal, if it's written above the church, that's not what makes us Pentecostal.
Hata kama umeweka bango kubwa kanisa la Kipentekoste, lakini ndani yake halitakuwa la Kipentekoste.
The only way we are Pentecostal is when we are genuinely experiencing a move of the Holy Spirit.
Njia pekee itakayotuonyesha kwamba sisi ni wa Pentecostal ni pale tutakapoona nguvu ya Mungu ikitembea katika maisha ya kanisa.
And the defining element of a Pentecostal church is that the members, every member, is baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Na kielelezo kikubwa cha kanisa la Kipentecostal ni kwamba kila mshirika amejazwa nguvu ya Roho Mtakatifu.
And we must not be ashamed of that.
Na hatutaki kuonea hili jambo hili.
We must experience a fresh outpouring of the Spirit.
Lazima tuweze kupokea ujuzi mpya wa Roho wa Mungu.
The plea I'm making to you, the whole Bible pleads with us to emphasize this.
Biblia yote inatutafadhalisha hiki ambacho ninakizungumza.
From the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Kutoka kwenye agano la kale mpaka kwenye agano jipya.
The Old Testament looks ahead to the need of God's people to be filled with the Spirit.
Unaona kwamba agano la kale linaangalia mbele kwenye hitaji la watu wa Mungu kwenda kujazwa na nguvu ya Roho Mtakatifu.
In Numbers chapter 11,
katika Hesabu sura ya 11,
there is a story about Moses and the people of Israel.
Kulikuwa na hadithi au ile simulizi juu ya Musa.
Moses was trying to carry the burden of leading the nation of Israel all by himself.
Musa alikuwa anajitahidi kubeba mzigo wote wa kuongoza wana wa Israeli.
And he was growing very tired.
Na alikuwa akichoka.
Because the people were always complaining.
Kwa sababu watu walikuwa wakilalamika.
Now I'm sure here in Tanzania that no one in the churches ever complains.
Na hakika kwamba hapa Tanzania hakuna mtu.
You never experienced this.
Analalamika kwa hilo.
Every day the people were complaining to the point that Moses said, "God, I can't bear this anymore."
Walikuwa wakinungunika wana wa Israeli kwa kiwango ambacho Musa alisema Mungu siwezi tena yani kuwabeba hawa wana.
And he said, "God, just kill me."
Mungu sasa niue, nichoka nao.
He said, "This is too much for me. I'm going to fail."
Mungu anasema kwamba hiki kitu ni kikubwa sana kwa hiyo nakwenda kushindwa.
So it's better that I just die right now.
Afadhali nife tu sasa.
And God said to him, "No, Moses, that's not the answer." But God said, "I have the answer."
Mungu akasema ninalo jibu.
He said, "I want you to choose 70 other leaders."
Akamwambia, "Nataka ujichagulie watu wengine 70 waaminifu."
And he said, "I want you to bring them together."
Na ninaomba uwakusanye.
And here's what I'm going to do.
Na hiki ndicho nitakachokwenda kufanya.
He said, "I'm going to take of the spirit that is upon you."
Nitakwenda kuchukua roho iliyoko ndani yako.
Because you see, Moses had been empowered by the Spirit of God.
Kwa sababu unajua Musa alikuwa amejazwa na nguvu ya roho.
Moses' ability to lead and the miracles that he worked, this came from the power of the Holy Spirit.
Uwezo wa Musa kuongoza na miujiza yote iliyofanyika ilikuwa ni kutokana na kwamba alikuwa na nguvu za roho.
And God said, "I'm going to take of the spirit that's on you and I will put that spirit on those 70 leaders."
Mungu akasema kwamba nitachukua sehemu ya roho iliyoko ndani yako na nitaweka kwa hao viongozi 70.
And I will empower them so that they can help you with this job of leading these people.
Na nitawawezesha ili waweze kukusaidia kuongoza hao watu.
See, the answer was that there needed to be more people filled with the Spirit.
Kwa hiyo jibu la matatizo ilikuwa ni kwamba watu wengi zaidi wajazwe Roho Mtakatifu.
Do you know this story?
Unaelewa hadithi hiyo?
And you know how that God put his spirit on those 70 leaders and they began to prophesy.
Na unajua jinsi ambavyo Mungu alika roho yake kwa watu 70 na wakaanza kutabiri.
Throughout the scriptures, this is the most common sign that when God puts his spirit on people, they begin to speak by the Spirit.
Na hapa inaonyesha kwenye Biblia kwamba Mungu alipoweka roho yake ndani ya watu, walianza kuongea.
But you remember the story that there were two men who stayed in the camp. They didn't come with the others.
Unakumbuka hadithi kwamba kuna watu wengine wawili hawakuja, walikuwa kambini.
They were chosen. They were among the 70.
Walikuwa miongoni mwa wale 70.
And God put his spirit on them even in the camp.
Lakini hata walipokuwa kule kambini Mungu aliweka roho.
And they also began to prophesy.
Na wale wakaanza kutabiri.
And Joshua came to Moses.
Na Yoshua akaja kwa Musa.
And he was concerned.
na akiwa kabisa katika hali ya kufikiri kwamba anafanya kitu.
Because those two men were not being really obedient. They didn't come with the others.
Kwa sababu waliona wale watu wawili hawakuwa watii. Hawakuja walipoitwa.
And he was afraid that somehow they were not respecting Moses.
Na alikuwa anafikiri kwamba yawezekana hawamheshimu Musa.
And he said, Moses, tell them to stop.
Akamwambia Musa, waambie waache kutabiri.
And you remember how Moses responded. He said to Joshua, are you jealous for me? He said, I wish that God would put of His Spirit upon all of His people.
He
said, I wish all of God's people would become prophets. Because Moses recognized that it was the power of the Spirit that was the essential element that enabled him to fulfill what God had called him to do. He said, oh, I wish that all God's people could receive this. Every one of God's children needs to be empowered by the Spirit. You see, the Old Testament was looking ahead. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through Moses, pointing toward what God was going to do. And then the prophet Joel, later, he prophesied it. He said, what Moses wished for, God's going to do. Through Joel, God said, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all my people. And they will be filled with the Spirit and they will prophesy. They will all become vessels that can be used in my mission. The Old Testament was looking ahead toward this need of the people of God to be filled with the Spirit. Yesterday I spoke how the Spirit came upon Jesus. And Jesus is a model to us of a Spirit-empowered man. When we look at Jesus, we see what God will do by His Spirit through a man. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus ministered in the power of the Spirit. Not only was He Himself empowered, but then He promised that same power to the church. And not only did He promise it, but He commanded the church to be filled with the Spirit. That's why Jesus commanded them to remain in Jerusalem. Because this is what we need. And when you read the book of Acts, you will see that those first apostles took seriously that command of Jesus. They emphasized the importance of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's why in Acts chapter 8, when the church in Jerusalem heard about the revival in Samaria, and Acts chapter 8 tells us that many people were being saved in Samaria. Philip, the evangelist, had gone there to preach the gospel. But there was a problem in Samaria. People were being saved, but no one was being filled with the Spirit. And so what did the church in Jerusalem do? They sent Peter and John. They came to Samaria for the purpose of praying for people that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you see the early church emphasized The importance of being filled with the Spirit. When they saw a church where people were not being filled with the Spirit, they took it seriously and they took action to remedy that problem. And that's why I'm saying the whole Bible, with the Word of God, from Old Testament to New Testament, emphasizes and pleads with us to make this a priority in our church. We must make this a priority. The need of this world is for a Spirit-empowered church. The answer for this world is a Spirit-empowered church. Jesus Christ will work through His church to save the nations if we will seek the power of the Holy Spirit. The answer for this world is not governments or money or programs. The answer for this world is the message of Jesus Christ proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we must come back. We must return to emphasizing the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What must we do to get refocused on the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing is that we must become convinced of the need to return to a regular emphasis on this neglected experience. That is one of our goals in this conference. We are trying to convince you to make this a priority in your ministry. And I pray that during this week, God will speak to every one of your hearts and that He will put a conviction in your heart that you must begin to regularly preach and teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit in connection with the mission of God. Secondly, we must personally seek to be empowered by the Spirit. Yesterday I heard Dr. Barnabas and Tokumbali. He said, for this group to go out and to impact the Tanzania Assemblies of God, we must first experience revival. We must be filled with the Spirit. And so every day we must make this part of our focus and our prayer personally. God, fill me with your Spirit. A few years ago, when God began to deal with my heart, I began to pray daily again, God, fill me with your Spirit. And you know, God answers that prayer. When we ask, God gives His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the dynamic that will turn us into the people that God wants us to be. And this is why we must seek personally, but we must also encourage the whole church to begin to pray and to ask God to pour out of His Spirit. The church must continually be seeking and asking God for a fresh outpouring of His Spirit. We learn about the Holy Spirit as we study the Scriptures. But we experience the Holy Spirit as we seek Him in prayer. And as the church begins to call out and ask God, do it again, pour out of your Spirit upon us, God will fulfill His promise. And as we preach and teach regularly on the baptism of the Holy Spirit in connection with the mission of God, and we challenge the church to commit itself to the mission of God, and we lead people into asking God to pour out of His Spirit upon us, we will experience an outpouring of the Spirit. Because Jesus promised it. And God fulfills His promises. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's conclude the time of teaching right now by just taking a couple of minutes to pray. Afterwards, we'll discuss the lesson a little bit. But let's take a couple of minutes right now and let's just commit our hearts to the Lord. And if you have not been emphasizing the baptism in the Holy Spirit, make a commitment that you're going to begin to preach and teach this message. And let's ask God to pour out of His Spirit upon us. Hallelujah. Begin to commit your heart to the Lord right now. Begin to ask God to pour out of His Spirit upon the church. And commit yourself to this ministry of preaching and teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit.